download from theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Number 398.
Hello again and welcome to The Outdoor Station. In October 2014, I set myself a wild camp challenge to camp in a variety of places around the UK in a variety of weathers with minimal impact, leaving no trace and just using a bivy bag and tarp where necessary. Over the winter, you heard me start local and get more adventurous through to February 2015. Unfortunately, the March trip didn't happen due to illness, along with April, as my hands were full preparing for the Backpacking Light Outdoor Show. However, in May, I made up for it with numerous wild camps as part of the TGO Challenge in Scotland. Followers of this series will be pleased to hear that June 2015 finds me back in the wild camp saddle. Once again, I'm going back to basics and pitching up somewhere completely different. Isn't that the most restful sound? The sound of the sea gently lapping on the rocks at the shore. In May, you heard the various wild camps that we did when we were walking across Scotland on the TGO Challenge. This month, I decided to do something the opposite and head completely south to the bottom end of the UK. Yes, I am only a few miles away from Land's End. I've gone all Ross Poldark. I've ruffled my hair into dark curls. I'm exposing my six-pack to the world, and I'm scything my way through the long grass around the headland and cliff path. Well, maybe not the last bit, but I'm certainly doing the rest of it. I have parked up down near Penberth Cove, and if you were to look at the map and pinpoint Land's End and go several miles to the east, you'll see that it's a little cove that's obviously a bit further round to the east side. It's a name you may not find in the map. You need to zoom in quite close. Now, the reason I've chosen this particular place is, well, one, for the dynamics of having something completely different to Scotland and the TGO Challenge. Two, to explore an area that I only really ever visited once, I think, as a child. I don't know, five, six, seven, something like that. I do remember going to Land's End once. But mainly because I have discovered an old friend of mine that I haven't seen for just over 30 years. And she happens to live in this very cove. Now, I haven't met up with her yet. I decided to come down and do a wild camp down at Land's End, if I can, right by the lighthouse or somewhere around that area. And then I'm hoping to meet her tomorrow and catch up on 30 years worth of gossip. Something I'm very much looking forward to. But I'm equally looking forward to having a wild camp in fairly pleasant weather for a change. Cornwall is known for its wonderful views, its romantic villages, its excellent coves, and its fine weather. And the forecast tonight is overcast, cloudy, not too cold, a slight chill compared to previous days, but hopefully not much in the way of rain. So I'm going super lightweight this time. I've just brought a Rab Survival Zone bivy bag, a little two-season compact sleeping bag, a sleeping mat, handful of sandwiches, a bottle of water, and stuffed it all with a bit of insulation just in case it gets cold into my Innovate Race Elite 25-litre pack, which is half empty virtually. So I've just arrived after a six-hour journey down from the Midlands. Certainly, you realise how many people there are in the world as you get further and further away from the main arteries of three-lane motorways down to two-lane roads, and realise just how many people there are moving around. And it's almost 7 o'clock now, 7 p.m., which has been actually a pretty good timing, because I understand it's about 3 to 4 hours walk from here to Land's End, which is a perfect way to arrive at dusk and obviously settle down for the night. I've got no other plans apart from that, and coming back in the morning obviously and catching up with my friend. So if I meet people along the way or get to talk to anybody, that'll add to the entertainment. But really, I could sit here for a good hour or so just watching the waves and experiencing the sea. It's something we don't see an awful lot of where we live in Malvern in the Midlands. And I just find water and the seaside very, very restful. So I better drag myself off this little cove and start the first climb up, which I've just been told is very steep, and it certainly looks to be, but that's all part of the fun. I haven't come more than half a mile really on the coastal path, which reminds me very much of the one that Rose and I did when we did the Channel Island Way, when they linked all the coastal paths together when they launched the Channel Island Way as a route. And I've come across a place, I think they called it Trinan Dinas, an Iron Age hill fort right on the cliff edge. And sure enough, just 100 metres or so off the main path, you can see the ramparts and the ditches, typical Iron Age design, very much similar to the one we have in Malvern there, the British camp, and also Midsummer Hill, both Iron Age forts. And then looking further across towards Land's End direction, I can't quite see the lighthouse from here, but I certainly can see the next cove. And there's, in the dusk now, the light's starting to drop. There's about half a dozen houses clinging to the rock face, literally just overlooking with the high water mark on the tide from the sea. And looking out to sea, we have three vessels, a sailing vessel just bobbing along, enjoying the view, I guess. It's catching the last of the sunshine, the last of the rays. What looks like to be a fishing trawler. Two fishing trawlers actually, and they look like they're obviously going around to Penzance, which is the main fishing port here. But plenty of wild camp spots. It's definitely going to be a very leave no trace night. Obviously, unless you're aware of it, all this land is National Trust land, so it is against the local bylaw. So it's very much a case of waiting till dusk, getting my head down and then going first thing in the morning. There's quite a lot of gorse around, which obviously is not conducive to technical fabrics. But having said that, even on this Iron Age hill fort area, there's plenty of space to get a bivy bag out. I don't know about putting a tent up in this sort of area, because there is an awful lot of rock and stone, as you can imagine, on the coastal path. But anyway, I thought I would just share that little surprise with you, actually. Quite impressive, really. Thinking if they were defending in Iron Age times, then people aren't going to attack you from the sea, I guess. So the ramparts just go around one side of it, and they protect themselves. And the top area here must be about 100 metres in diameter, something like that. How other people lived years ago. I find it fascinating, really. And I think they're probably much more practical and advanced than we are these days, even with all our technology. Anyway, as I say, the sun is it's still above the horizon, probably an hour or so before it starts to drop down and get really low, so I better crack on. Welcome to Porthgwera. RSPB. Well, just gone through yet another picturesque little collection of cottages
overlooking the small slipway out to sea. It looks like a lot of them are holiday cottages, understandably, and I'm sure the season's beginning to pick up in a big way. The path, as any coastal path, is pretty good, open in places, sort of scrub common land. Then there's sort of thick gorse to go through, and in places it's like being in a 6 foot deep World War One trench, and the bracken and the gorse and the depth of the gully where the water's obviously been running and washing away the ground has created this almost covered in area as the undergrowth tries to reclaim it every time the path is not used. So I've just come out of a gully like that to completely open, gentle grassland sloping down to a sheer cliff face and an almighty drop to the sea, which I'm sure you can hear in the background. So not an ideal place to bivvy and slide down there by accident. Anyway, I've just been informed that the lighthouse, the Land's End Lighthouse, which I thought I could see, but I've obviously not grasped what I was looking at, is still about 3 miles away, about an hour away, which actually is perfect timing, really, because it's gone 9 o'clock now. The sun is just going through its last settings, dipping down behind the cloud and having a lovely last burst of red sunlight in those last few moments, the magic hour, as they say. And I think what I misinterpreted as the lighthouse is in fact some kind of radio station with aerials and various things on the top of it, and there's a couple of what look like little monuments which I took for the tip of the being the tip of the lighthouse from a distance. Anyway, as I say, it's really the last few moments of dusk. Let's just get a picture of this sunset with these monuments. I'm not sure you can see that very clearly. He's got the sun behind there. That's better. I don't know what it's a monument to, but it looks... That's a nice burst of colour. Right, well, the wind's picked up. Hopefully this is not going to be too windy for you. And I better beetle on now to see if I can time it just right to arrive at the point I want to arrive to at about 10 o'clock. Well, I've finally made it to Land's End, and I feel like I've walked onto a Disney plot, a ghost town, so there's nobody here. I was walking along the coastal path and then took what I thought would be a shorter route that went high, cut across the cliff tops, and then lo and behold, half an hour later, I've ended up in the middle of a village, so I've just walked a mile down the road to Land's End, which is not what I remember it to be. I just remember it having that signpost with signs pointing in all different places, directions around the world with the distances, and a little coffee shop, but greeted with a completely different edifice this time round. The sun's gone down now, it's 10:30, and I've found the path to the coastal path back, so I shall go on that in a minute. But, there's a start-finish line here, which is actually quite interesting, because one of the reasons I wanted to come here is that I shall be interviewing shortly someone who's doing something very unusual. Obviously, many people have walked Land's End to John O'Groats. Quite a few have run. And I think if you go back into my archives, I interviewed somebody who was going to make a fantastic attempt at speed running it, but unfortunately got ill fairly soon. Well, very shortly, I'm going to be interviewing somebody who's doing a unique experience, which we're quite behind in supporting, and that he's going to run Land's End to John O'Groats, but do it barefoot. And looking at the tarmac that he's going to have on the start, the first few miles, I think it'll be quite an interesting experience and something worth keeping an eye on. So if you haven't subscribed already, make sure you subscribe to our podcasts. And when that comes live, you'll get it. And hopefully we're going to catch up with him as he comes past the Midlands area as well, along Offa's Dyke, which would be good. Touch base with him as he completes his mission. But yes, he's attempting to do Land's End to John O'Groats barefoot in aid of a great charity. So stay tuned for that one. But as you just heard, the last car has just left the area. As I say, it's all fairly dark. There's a few strange people wandering around with different foreign accents. I don't know if they work here or what they're doing. So, and it's lit up like a Christmas tree. So I'm not too sure whether that's a pub or what it is. But yeah, it's a very commercial enterprise now, complete with a parking area and all the rest of it. So I'm here and I'm going to have a quick wander for 5 minutes. See what's around, see if I can find that sailing post. I can't see it anywhere. And then I'll head back to the coastal path and see if I can find a spot to bed down for the night. But it is now getting quite dark and I'm using my night vision to find my way around. Well, what a massive disappointment. The Land's End signpost is no longer what it was when I was a lad. So it's just Land's End 2015, New York, 3,147 miles, John O'Groats 874. And it's all cheap and nasty. And basically, unfortunately, that's how I'd describe Land's End now. I suppose it's inevitable that the commercialism takes over various places and it's bound to be a massive money-making machine, but you've got ye olde gift shop. You've got what I thought was a pub, but actually is a hotel. I think it must be a pub as well. Massive hotel complex. You've got a Cornish pasty set up. Burgers. The bakehouse. Something for the RLNI. Which is good, obviously. And Penwith House. Temperance Hotel, established in 1860, which that was the only thing that was here when I was here last time. Everything else has all been constructed since. I guess it's inevitable. It's going to be obviously a massive tourist destination, and certainly they're catering for it with the wide road and the big car park. But there's that little boy in me that's quite disappointed, really. Yeah. Anyway, right, now is the time to find the path back to the Bridleway and coastal path and not rush so I don't arrive too hot and sweaty, as I've always advised people before, because it's just bivy bag time tonight. Oh, there's a donut company as well. West Country Shopping Village. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very classy. And Shaun the Sheep Experience. Aardman Animations. Right, okay, I'm depressed now. I've got to go. Okay, I'll catch up later. I'm finally settled. It's virtually pitch black now. Time is about, I think it's gone 11 o'clock. I can't quite see my watch. I'm about 200 metres as the crow flies from Land's End. I can see the hotel all lit up like a Christmas tree. And I've just found the path and come down it a bit and found a little, I suppose it's tourist farm, the Grebe. So I've just come away from there for a bit because no doubt they've got dogs. And just come out on the promontory a bit where I found some lovely, soft common land, I suppose you'd call it, really. Slightly undulating on a bit of a slope, but very soft underneath, so that's quite nice to bed down on. So I'm just tucked by a wall. There's a bit of a breeze coming across me. I'm looking straight out to the sea, and as I say, I've got the Land's End over to my right. Hopefully sunrise, which will come up to my left, which will be quite nice tomorrow morning. The weather forecast tomorrow morning actually is quite promising. Sunny, so it'd be nice to be greeted with a sunrise first thing in the morning and get cracking. So I've managed to, or remembered this time, to bring a large, a Silk Island bag, roll-top bag. So everything's going to go in that, including my shoes. I'm just using the bivy bag. I'm inside the sleeping bag as well, but I think I'm going to be too hot. I've got everything on. I might take this wind shirt off, actually. Got a couple of sandwiches left, so I might just munch on those, have a swig of water, and then get my head down. Hopefully... as I say, the forecast was just for a cloudy, overcast, breezy night. If it rains, I'll just have to do what Ronald says and turn over and face downwards. I can't be bothered getting the micro tarp out now. So if I'm lucky, I should have a good night, fairly peaceful and quiet. But I'll keep the recorder nearby just in case anything exciting happens. But I think that's about it. Here I am, signing off now in Land's End, at the very, very bottom of the United Kingdom. Good night, everyone.
Find out how easy it is to subscribe to all our free programmes. Visit our website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk or look us up on Facebook.
Well, it's 6:30 now. I've decided to get dressed. I just put my trousers back on and a wind shirt. The sun is now crescenting the rocks which are behind me. The sun's come up behind me, not to my left as I thought it was going to. And I've just taken a few photographs of the setup, which is basically obviously a green bag lying on the grass. But you can see it in relation to the actual Land's End complex, which is behind me, or over to my right, rather. But a pretty nice bivy night, perfect night, really. In comparison to the wildness of Scotland and the weather that can throw at you, it's been a very balmy evening, which is wonderful. Little fishing boat heading out in the sunshine ahead of me, and I can see it's being circled by gulls, but obviously it hasn't caught anything yet, so they're not that bothered. Now, talking of photographs, I did take a regular amount of photographs, obviously, as I came towards Land's End last night, but about an hour before I got there, I came across a tent, a light wave tent, pitched on a cliff top. So somebody else is obviously wild camping. Now, I've got no problem with wild camping and camping on a cliff top, but what I do have are major concerns about camping on a cliff edge. And this tent, you'll see from the photographs, make your own decision, this tent was 6 inches from the edge of the cliff. How they got the corner peg in, I have no idea. It's that type of distance. But have a look at the photographs and see what you think. There's being adventurous and there's being stupid. And in my mind, they were putting themselves into a position of danger there. Because had the weather got worse last night, they would have had nowhere to go, literally. Or been any kind of landslip or whatever. Certainly from one angle, we can actually see what the cliff consists of at the point beneath the tent, which is basically earth hanging onto rock. It did seem a very foolhardy thing to do. So we'll see if they're still there when I wander back. But 22.7 now. I can feel the warmth of the sun on my face, which is a lovely feeling. So I'm going to pack my bag and start wandering back. My friend's not expecting me till 10-ish anyway, so it's perfect timing. And I can have a nice leisurely stroll back along the cliff edge and try and trace back the coastal path, which I somehow lost last night in my endeavours to get to Land's End in reasonable light. After about 40 minutes coastal walking, I finally got to the point where I split last night and decided to go high, thinking the higher path might be a straighter or quicker route to get to Land's End itself. But in actual fact, it deviated so much, it took me right across farms and fields and so on, and came, as I described, arrived at a village in a road that was a mile away. But I'm glad in many respects that I actually did take that high path, because I've just taken the coastal path back and it was very hairy in beautiful, glorious sunlight this morning. Goodness knows what it would have been like trying to do it at dusk. Well, it was in the dark last night at that time. I would have been quite apprehensive, to say the least. I've noticed my eyesight's getting very poor when it gets to dusk these days, so I have to be much more confident where I'm going. And I'm so glad that I didn't do that coastal path last night. But anyway, this little cove that we're at the moment, it's a bit of a Poldark moment, actually. Because I've seemed to have got an entrance to, well, I suppose it could be an entrance to a tin mine. It's sort of a superbly bricked up channel wall that goes into the hillside. And as far as I can see, goes for some distance before it's obviously jet black or being blocked off in various ways. And I noticed there's a fair amount of subsidence as well in this sort of area, which could tie in with mining, I guess, and obviously the land collapsing as the mines collapse underneath it. So maybe that's got something to do with it. I could be completely wrong, of course. It could be some fancy diversion for a stream, which is also close by, and maybe it formed some sort of channel for getting fresh water down here. But just, 50 metres ahead of me and above me, I suppose, there's a lovely rental house with conservatory overlooking this private bay, which must be worth a small fortune. What a wonderful place to spend solitude and write a book or something, providing you don't have to head to the shops, I guess, because there's nothing for miles around. But yes, a lovely spot in which to contemplate infinity and watch all these poor walkers walking by, I guess. Anyway, I better carry on. Those aerials and things I referred to last night, I was right, it was the Coast Guard station. And the two peaks, which I mistook for what I thought to be the lighthouse top from a distance, were actually two markers, so that when you're out at sea and the two markers line up, it tells you exactly where you are in relation to the coast, and no doubt some very dangerous rocks, which this area is notorious for at sea. The actual lighthouse itself doesn't exist anymore, as I remember it to be. I'm sure there was one at Land's End, but now it's actually a remote machine, I suppose, which is actually offshore, situated on a distant rock, and obviously sending out the appropriate signals, leaving Land's End Disney World to, keep making the money, I guess. Anyway, I'm going to carry on plodding on now. I don't think I'm very far away from the Coast Guard station, actually, which also is where that other tent was pitched, so we'll see if they're still there this morning.
You're listening to the outdoorstation.co.uk, award-winning producers of podcasts to inform, inspire, entertain, and encourage people to enjoy a healthy outdoors lifestyle.
Well, I'm almost down at where the people were camping last night. They've obviously just packed up and they're standing right on the cliff edge. So I might have a word with them and just see why they chose that spot. Morning. How are you doing? Interesting choice of camping spot last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen it from the other side?
No. Yes, we saw it from there.
Looks extremely hairy.
Yeah.
You're obviously not English?
No, yeah. We're from Belgium.
Belgium. Okay.
So, you're from the area?
No, I'm from further north here.
I
know. So you walking far?
As far as we can get.
Till the... we have 2 weeks, so we just
Okay.
The coast trail.
Okay, so you're just wild camping on the way?
Yes.
Ah. Yeah. You realise it's unfrowned upon and illegal, do you?
Is it illegal?
It is on this area. It is in England, not in Scotland and not in Dartmoor. But you're on National Trust land, so they usually frown on it. But you're out of season at the moment, so providing you don't leave, as I say, leave no trace...
We don't leave no trace. Yeah.
But if somebody asks you to move, then it's usually the good option to...
To move, yes. Yeah. Of course. No discussion
about it. To disappear. But I'd be careful where you're camping. You camped on a very, very dangerous spot last night.
Are there many landslides?
Yes, there's quite a few. Yeah, there's a lot of erosion, a lot of landslides. There's a few paths that have been blocked off that I was on last night. I came past you about 9 o'clock last night. 9:30, and I've camped down at Land's End, but I just used a bivvy bag.
Just a
bag. So I was just in a bag. There's a lot of choices, a lot of places you could camp, and it's, as I say, it's out of season, so it's not too bad as long as you're away from the tourist path. But you just have to be careful, really.
Yes, that's true. That's good advice.
So where did you start from?
From
Penzance.
Penzance. Okay.
I've slept two nights already.
Okay, well, good luck. Yes. Happy trails.
Have a nice
Take care. Have a good holiday. Wow. Cheers. Well, I'm not too sure how much of that conversation you caught, but a couple from Belgium look to be early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. Was unaware that wild camping is illegal. However, obviously... leave no trace and camp late, leave early, etc, etc, but they were unaware of that. But wow, what a precarious position. I shall leave everybody to make their own judgments when they see the photographs. Well, it's time to say farewell to Penberth Cove. As you can hear, the waves are a bit more lively now, the wind's picked up, and it's time to head back home. It's been good to get down here and get out to Land's End after so many years, and also really, really good to meet up with an old friend, which goes back to childhood days, the formative years. Sometimes you just... need to connect with somebody that goes back to those times and sees you and remembers you for who you really are. Friends from those times need to be celebrated and treasured. So after a very pleasant couple of days walking and a trip to Land's End, I'm now leaving the beautiful sea, the wonderful scenery at Penberth Cove and blue sky, and heading back to the Midlands and the centre of England. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear more from our extensive free library, please visit the website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk. The home of UK-based audio and video podcasts for outdoors people everywhere.